Hello, Wise Al fans. Welcome back to the Wise Al podcast with me, your host, Harry Edwards. And it is season two, episode number two. It is currently 34 minutes past 12 on the 2nd of December. We are officially in Christmas mode. And I thought I'd kind of do a podcast, mainly because currently I am sat in a golf course car park waiting for my tee-off time, which is in an hour, which I've stupidly become really, really early. But I'm so excited because today is the end of lockdown. We are back on the golf courses. We're very close to be back in the stadiums. We're so close to be back to reality, it feels like. The passing of the vaccine has just been announced of Pfizer, I think it's called, or whatever it is. So hopefully, within the next few months, things get a little bit more back to normal. Let's hope so. But yes, today, I thought I'm not with my partner in crime, James Fisher. And once again, thank you everybody for the last podcast. I know I've not done a podcast in recent times, and I want to thank everybody who's listened to the podcast and all the positive, kind words that you've said, especially with me and, well, we call him Fisher, me and Fisher working together. I think it's probably something that we can do again in the future. So keep your eyes peeled out for him coming back and for other guests. But today, we're back to normal. It is just me today. And I was kind of thinking, I'm kind of going to do this podcast on a whim and see what it feels like. So I'm not expecting the best podcast here. But I've got a good idea, which I was kind of saving for another day. But I thought, you know, since I'm a bit bored at the moment, I might as well go for it. So the one thing that I see a lot about Sheffield Wednesday, and yes, we're back to talking about Wednesday specifically today. So that's a good for all you Wise Owls out there. But yeah, as I say, the thing and the that I see on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram a lot, especially on all the pages, is what was the best 11 of all time? And to be fair, without even, you know, being born in that era of the best players, you can kind of guess everyone's probably best starting 11. You know, it's always going to have Waddle in there and Hurst and Dez and Roland Nielsen and John Pearson and or anybody else, really. You could have many people in, but those are the names that I feel that come to mind a little bit when you think of the best at Wednesday, especially like your Waddles and your Hurst. They are so well known, but nobody ever really talks about in more recent times. And because I'm a younger fan, there isn't really a lot of good players. But let's think about who are the best players that have been about since the turn of the century. There's probably not that many that would get in the best 11 of all time, because Wednesday was a better team in the 90s, early 90s or so. You know, we had a couple of light spells of greatness with under Carlos, but would any of those players get in the team? But today I'm going to be talking about it and see who gets in my best 11. So here we go. Let's do it. So yes, starting with my formation. I was thinking about this for some time. Could go 4-4-2, could go to the formation that we're doing at the moment, which is like five at the back, or a 4-3-3. I've gone with a 4-3-3 because I think that is the best formation that we've played under at the time. So I'm probably going to go from around about 2002 to current and see who the best team is. And to be fair, a lot of these players are probably in the more recent years rather than the early noughties, mainly because I think they are generally the better players. But starting at the back, we'll go with the keeper first. And to be honest, I don't think there's any other way you can say it, but it's got to be Kieran Westwood in net. I mean, I think probably 90% of you guys out there would probably agree with me. I think you could have honourable mentions for, you know, people like Chris Kirkland and Scott Carson when he was on loan. He had a really good spell with us. You know, you could, if you wanted to, you know, other people that come to mind, there's David Lucas who played really well under us, but was he at the same quality as Kieran Westwood? Kieran Westwood, on his day, was the best in the league, and we weren't the best team in the league. He was unbelievably good. He was a great shot stopper. He didn't have the height, but he demanded the box very well. His kicking was one of the best for the size, the person he is, that has been in a Wednesday shirt. You know, people, because before Westwood came in, we had Chris Kirkland, who was, he was very slow. He was past it. He'd obviously had a lot of injuries. He was still a very good keeper compared to what we had before, but, and, you know, quite a big signing for us at the time, but he was a little past it. But he did a job for us, Chris Kirkland. But when Westwood came in, Westwood found his place really quickly and made a solid start. And then under Carlos, he really flourished. And I remember that season where we did do really well. I nearly got promoted, where we got to the final. You know, he was the only player that probably could have held his head high in that game. And also, to be fair, one of those games in that season against Norwich, it was unbelievable. You know, Cameron Jerome was up front, I remember, for Norwich, and had about six or seven chances to score. All on another day probably would have gone in. That's how good Westwood was on that day. We were unbelievable, and I thought, this is the last day that we're going to have him. So, yeah, we'll... But in regards to Westwood, there's no one competing with him, I don't think. I think he was probably the best on his day, but I think most of you would agree. Following on to right back again, we've had some decent right backs. I think Liam Palmer's really come out of his shell in the last couple of seasons. If you think back to Lewis Buxton, who was a constant solid right back for us, I think he's up there. But and obviously he was a good captain for us at some points and quite defensive, could play central. But I think the one that really stood out for me was Jack Hunt in the promotion season. I think he had that pace about him. He was a little bit more attacking, and he worked well with Ross Wallace at the time, who, you know, he wasn't as good as defending as Buxton. But I think in this day and age, if I wanted somebody who was a right back, I think it would be Jack Hunt, because, as I say, that pace was just so vital, especially at that time when we had a not very quick side. It was really important, and I think he was good at crossing. He was okay at defending. He wasn't terrible, but you know, compared to the likes of Palmer and Buxton, they're more known for the defensive attributes rather than Jack Hunt was. But overall, you know, we got rid of him. We sold him. Was it a good deal? I don't know. In the end, I mean, have we got somebody better in that right back position at the moment? I don't think so. So for us, probably not. But at least we've got a bit of money for him, at least. But there you go. Going to left back. Again, there's some tough ones. You know, you think about the, you know, Daniel Poodle and Tommy Spur and Reader Johnson at left back. You know, you could maybe put Palmer there if you wanted to. They're the names that spring to mind. I think Reader was a bit of a novelty. In the end, I think he was a bit, you know, I think he was probably a centre-back, but he was too donkey-like to be a centre-back, so they ended up putting him in left-back, and he did a job. But I don't know, I think out of the lot, I did like Tommy Spur. Tommy Spur was one of my favourite players at the time, and ended up going on to have a really pretty decent career in the end. But again, I'm going to have to say someone from that nearly winning championship team in Daniel Poodle, because he was a little bit slow and he were obviously a little bit past it, but actually he was so good at just being a solid left back. You know, he was like the Lewis Buxton, but a left back. He was good at passing, he was well knowledgeable on the area, and I think it was just really good to have a left back who was that good at that time, you know. And to be fair, in this league there's not many that were as good as Daniel Poodle. I think left backs are a really hard position to find. Even now, you know, you look at the England team, we've got Ben Chilwell, and that's it, really. You know, you could say Shaw or Danny Rose, but they're not really getting games. So there you go. But yeah, so Daniel Poodle left back. My centre-backs, again, was really difficult to decide, but in the end, it wasn't, in a weird way. Because, you know, we've had some very good centre-backs in this time. You know, you think about even players that didn't necessarily have the best time for us. You know, like Michael Turner. I remember seeing him against Bolton. He had an unbelievable game. You know, Roger Johnson. You think about Anthony Gardner. I like Darren Peirce. I think he was a good centre-back for us at the time. But again, in the most recent times, I think the two that have really, really stood out. I mean, I know Lees and Leuvens. I mean, Lees had been a solid unit for us for some years, and Leuvens was, you know, we realised how much we missed him when he left. He was one that would probably pass it. But my two favourites were probably Dominic Iorfa and Michael Hector. Dominic Iorfa, I think they were both worked really well together. I mean, they were both really tall, both really strong. Michael Hector weren't as fast, but he read the game so well for Wednesday in that season that we had him on loan. And then we had, and then Dominic Iorfa is just so pacey that, you know, even if he does make a mistake, he can recover. And having someone like Michael Hector alongside him would really prosper him, I think. But those two would be my centre-backs by a country mile. Obviously, Venancio gets a shout in, and Vincent Sasso, I think they both were really good centre-backs at the time. They were close, but really for the scheme of things, it's probably them two. Then going into a midfield three. Now, I normally like having an attacking midfielder and then a central midfielder and someone who's quite defensive. So the defensive midfielder that I would have to be, by a country mile, Sam Hutchinson. I think Luongo gets a good shout. I think he really, really does. But currently, I think he's just not as good as what Hutchinson was. Hutchinson was an absolute rock. He did get his odd red card and not a lot of yellow cards, but he was a solid, solid option. And we played better with him. You know, we realised, you know, when Joss took Westwood and Hutchinson out of the team, and then Steve Bruce came in and he put, well, or Bullen actually, sorry, he took caretaker charge and brought them back in. We completely changed because he was such a backbone product of the side, and probably didn't end on the biggest of highs. He probably, you know, he suffered with a lot of mental depression and illness, but over the years, and obviously he did because of the knee injuries that he had, and he had a lot of injuries as well, never really trained a lot, but he was an unbelievable player. I think that if he was probably a little bit more fit and maybe had a tiny bit more pace on him, I think he would have probably been Premier League standard. I think he would have fit in our Premier League team. So Hutchinson would be at the back. And then we've obviously got a central midfielder, some sort of central midfielder, which would be no real option really to other guys. I mean, Kieran Lee was fantastic for a central midfielder. He was reasonably attacking. I did, you know, he never had a bad game. He was very reliable. But I think the one that really stands out has got to be Barry Bannon. We've had some very good midfielders. You know, you think back to Alex Lopez. You can maybe think about Barkley if you wanted to on loan. But out of the ones that really stood out, it was it's Barry Bannon. You know, he's a proper captain on his day. Probably the best passer that we've had in years, and just an unbelievable player. And he's still with us now. He's obviously slowed down a little bit in recent years, but actually, to be fair, I still think he's as good as what he were. If he has a good day, he's the one that really stands out. So, you know, for me, it's Barry. We then go to the attacking midfielder. Now, this were really hard because I wanted to put somebody here that I wouldn't normally. And I kind of went with that because I don't know. It was quite tough to pick the last four players and put a correct formation in. But for me, even though his best position wasn't a cam, it was probably left wing, I'm going to put him in cam because really I think that the players that we've had in that position have not been the best. So for me, I would put Fernando Forestieri. I think probably in the last 20 years, Personally, I think he's been the best player we've ever had in the last 20 years. So, I think he just had that flair about him. I don't think we've had anybody with that flair since probably Di Canio. I think he was unbelievable on his day. He was that special link that we had in that championship season. Everybody that finishes in the top six, probably, in the league, always has that outstanding player in the side. You know, someone who's a little bit more important than the rest of them in some particular way. And at the time, I kind of couldn't really pick out who was that star player. But actually, when you look back, it was definitely Fernando. He was unbelievable. Only guy to score more than 20 goals for, like, ever since the turn of the century. Since Tudgay. But overall, you know, he was just so unbelievably stylish on the ball. He could dribble. He was strong. He had tendencies of players like, obviously he weren't on the same level as him, but tendencies like Aguero and Lionel Messi, that people who could dance around the ball, and he was just unbelievable. Again, someone who didn't really end the career on a high at Wednesday, but for the time he had with us, he was unbelievable. Then we go to the front three. So right wing is pretty easy for me. I would go, which I think a lot of people are thinking I'm going to put him right mid, but I'm going to put him left. But I'll come on to him in a minute. But right wing, I'm going to go Ross Wallace. I think his left foot was unbelievable. Again, we probably got him a little late. I think if we would have got him 2 or 3 years earlier, I think he probably would have gone down as one of the greatest players of Wednesday in the past 20 years. I think he probably has been, but I think he would have even been better. He was a good comic. He was so funny to watch. Like, you know, my missus don't really watch a lot of football, but she likes watching Wednesday a little bit. And one of her favourite players, apart from Nui, was Ross Wallace. Just because he always had a laugh and, you know, he was funny and he were, again, you know, he had a good passing ability. He could play midfield if he wanted to. Just lost that bit of pace when we got him. But again, overall, for a right winger, he was that type of guy. And again, if you had Jack Hunt at the right back position, those two linked up so well that Ross Wallace is my man at right wing. And then left wing is probably where you thought I was going to put this guy. But because I wanted to put Forestieri in Cam, I've had to kind of chop and change this a little bit. Maybe I would have put Ross Wallace on the left and this guy on the right, maybe. But he's definitely in my team. Again, if we would have kept hold of him, God, he would have been unbelievable. I mean, if he would have been in the Wednesday team when we got to the playoff final, maybe it might have been another story, I think. But this guy, Mikel Antonio, he was the guy who got us into the championship last time, really. He was on loan. I mean, I don't know how we picked him up, but he was pacey. He was strong. He was pretty tall. He was powerful. Even at that age, you know, he was only 22, 23. And now you look at him, he went to the Forest, obviously did really well. And West Ham signed him for, like, what, 8 million quid, 7 million quid, which is, or it might have been a little bit more, but either way, it was a bargain. Absolute bargain what they got him for. What an unbelievable player. Probably, apart from, out of all the players that we've had in the last 20 years, I think the best talent that we've had. Not necessarily, he didn't obviously come through the roots of Wednesday, but I think he was really good. And then finally, the striker. Striker's not been reasonably easy to pick because, to be honest, we've not had many good ones. You could think back to Connor Wickham when he was last on loan. You could think to Atinuyu. No, I'm kidding. But you could think to people like Fletcher recently. And you think of, but the two, maybe three, that really stand out for me personally are Gary Hooper, obviously, Steve McLean, and Marcus Tudgay. Now, Steve McLean, as I've said in my previous podcast, he's probably my favourite Wednesday player of all time. I just had a massive fandom of him. He was my player growing up. He scored so many goals. in that season where we got promoted through playoffs. But he didn't really do it in the Championship. You think back to Marcus Tudge, who did. And you think to Gary Hooper, who did, who obviously proved it at Celtic as well. Who was the better striker out of the three? My heart says Steve McLean. But my mind says Gary Hooper. But my gut says Marcus Tudge. And I always go on my gut. So, I did like Steve McLean, but I'd probably think that out of the three in the same team, like a Championship team, he probably would have not done the best, even on the day. And I know a lot of fans out there really do enjoy Gary Hooper, but I just don't think he's as good as people make out him to be. I mean, I might get a lot of stick for that, I might do, but for me, personally, Marcus Tudge was the one that really stood out for me. Maybe because I were a little bit younger at the time when he was about, and I probably didn't. I just noticed him for his goals that he scored. Where Hooper, you actually went to see him play sometimes, and you could critique him more. But for me, I'd go Marcus Tudge. I think he had that extra pace, especially if you've got one striker up front. I think with Ross Wallace and Mikel Antonio aside of him, I think he would have done really well. I think Hooper would have done really well. Most players would have done pretty well with them two at the side of him, and Forestieri, Bannon and Hutchinson in midfield. But imagine that team. I mean, that might not be your favourite team, but it's definitely mine. But one thing I would like to know is, what's your guys' favourite team? Is any players out there that I haven't even mentioned, not even in passing comment? Is anybody out there that I might have forgotten about? Or, you know, you could think about loanees, as I say, Connor Wickham, Ross Barkley, players that probably were here for a longer stint, maybe not as good, you know, like JJ. You know, Jermaine Johnson was such an incredible player for us, but was he one of the best? I don't know, but he was fun to watch. He was very, very pacey. That was really fun about him, but was he just pace? But yeah, it's not a long one, this podcast. I just wanted to let you guys know what I think, and I really want to know what you guys think about the best team. So yeah, as I say, it's not a long podcast, so I think I might end it here, to be fair. It's probably, what time is it? It's 1 o'clock, so I've got 20 minutes till tee-off time, which is cool. So that's probably just about right. But as I say, let me know when I post on Twitter, if you've got this far in listening, what your best 11 were, or maybe the star player who I haven't mentioned, and let me know what you think. But anyway, for the moment in time, I'm going to say peace out, and I'll see you in episode number 3. Up the Owls! We'll be right back.